gets colder. My eyes grow thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. My special guest today is Fiona Barnett from Australia. She is an MKUltra survivor and Australia's most recognized and vocal whistleblower on VIP pedophilia. She was introduced into the pedophile network by her Nazi war criminal grandparents. Listeners are not going to believe how deep this network goes. As a child, Fiona was raped by three Australian prime ministers and other politicians, the U.S. President Richard Nixon, and famous actors. She was trafficked internationally and was drugged and raped by prominent Americans such as Billy Graham and Ted Turner, who attended pedophile parties at Disneyland and Bohemian Grove. Fiona addressed the national press late in 2015 after an Australian senator announced that a former prime minister was listed by police as a VIP pedophile ring member. She also testified before the Australian Royal Commission into institutional responses to child sexual abuse regarding her experiences in child trafficking, ritual abuse, and military mind control. Her dramatic testimony left members of the commission in tears. Fiona will tell us about the child trafficking pedophile rings and describe the horrific crimes committed against her and all the other MKUltra victims who have now come forward because of her bravery. Welcome to the Focus on the Facts, Fiona.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. You know, a couple weeks ago we got mixed up with the phone, and I've never used Skype, but that's what they called you on today, right?
Yeah. You guys had my correct number last time, but as usual, we have some technical difficulties whenever people try to talk to me, especially from America.
Yeah, you were telling me that. But, you know, and when I first started this show, my phone would get messed up during every show. And finally, I went to St. Vincent de Paul charity store and got one of these old phones that doesn't plug into the wall, so I don't get caller ID or anything like that, but I haven't had any trouble since I got this old phone. But anyhow, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about at the start. Now, your grandparents brought you into this, your Nazi grandparents.
Yeah, well, what happened was, at the end of World War II, and in fact before World War II finished, Australia became a haven for Nazi war criminals. And the majority of Nazi war criminals that came here were of Slavic origin, so they were from Hungary and Poland and so forth. And my grandparents, Helen and Peter Holovchek, or Holozak, they came along with that wave. And there's actually, Mark Aaron in Australia wrote a book about how Australia became a Nazi war haven for many criminals. And the Australian government welcomed them with open arms and didn't vet them. In fact, they knew what they were and they let them in. I don't know why. There's various reasons why people put forth, you know, information exchange, etc. But this is what happened. And, of course, when these war criminals came to Australia, they continued to do that which they had freely done for years and years in Nazi-occupied territories in Europe, and that was engage in pedophile hunting parties. That was their favourite activity, was to hunt children and to engage in just orgies and to continue the religion that underpins Nazism, which is Luciferianism, and that includes human sacrifice. And indeed, during the various rituals that I was forced to witness and dragged into and abused in, there was a banner that was hung at the back of these rituals, and it featured a big eagle, a Nazi-style eagle, and some other symbols, which are indicative now of what Nazism went on to be in both Australia and America, with the transfer of the Nazi scientists, etc., into America and to the CIA and NASA, etc. And that is the transhumanism program and cloning and, you know, psychopharmacology and various practices like that, psychology and mind control. So modern psychology, as we know it, is actually stems from MK Ultra practices. So yeah, that was what happened. And my grandparents settled in an area sort of south of Sydney, a little place called Engadine. Now Engadine doesn't seem like much, but it was highly significant. It was a centre of MK Ultra activity. You had a regular supply of children available for these rituals and for their experiments, military experiments, etc., from Ingatine Boys Town. Now, boys, that was Australia's first boys town, first home for boys, and a lot of boys went in there and never came out again. And you had a tunnel system, which would exist today for sure, underneath Ingatine Boys Town. And not far from Ingatine Boys Town is Australia's main army base, Holsworthy Army Base. And then right next to Holsworthy Army Base is Australia's first nuclear reactor. So it was Lucas Heights Nuclear Reactor with, and both Holsworthy Army Base and Lucas Heights Nuclear Reactor have multi-story underground buildings in which they conducted their CIA mind control experiments and preparatory work with people like me. So that's the background.
So the CIA is running this.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. The CIA runs Australia. That's what Prime Minister Gough Whitlam was supposedly trying to expose. There's various movies that indicate that. And the major base in Australia is Pine Gap, and that is near Alice Springs, right in the middle of Australian desert. And there are actually underground tunnels, railways tunnels that link Pine Gap to, you know, Sydney and various locations. And so the starting point for all the information that they gather and, you know, DNA collection depot and all that sort of thing was Lucas Heights Nuclear Reactor. And then the end point was Pine Gap, where they actually conducted their more advanced experiments out there, which was based on all of Tesla's technology that the CIA had, and, you know, transhumanism experiments, which we're only now seeing come into mainstream society, you know. And,
right.
Yeah, so that's kind of basic outline.
How old were you when, how young were you when your grandparents entered you into this?
Oh, look, I first stayed, my mother and I can work out that I first stayed over at my grandparents' place on my own when my brother was being born. So I was less than 2 years of age.
Really?
When they got their hands on me, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember things back that far?
I remember probably a very early memory is when the second time I was left there alone, and I would have only been under two, because also there was a time my brother was born, and then I was a flower girl at a wedding for my the friend of my grandmother, and I remember that time I was the second time I was being left there, and I just remember being sitting down on the lounge room floor, and my mum saying bye, and she had yellow. I remember her clothes. She had 3/4 length pants, and she had a yellow top on. She had white pants and a yellow top, sleeveless top with the high neck, and she was, you know, her brown hair cut into a shoulder length sort of bob, and she was saying bye, and I remember saying, "Mummy, please don't leave me," but it was inside my head I was saying it. So that's a very early memory when I'm very young.
Okay, you know, and I posted a lot of interviews with Fiona, and I also posted the pictures that you drew of when you were being sexually abused and raped. Now, did you draw those pictures when you were little?
No, I didn't. They're actually pictures I drew later on for my therapist.
Okay, yeah. Boy, they're horrific. They're horrific.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, they're okay. Quite. But also, I actually have a degree in visual arts, painting major, drawing minor, and actually I was a better artist before I started art college, but I was actually a very good technical drawer. So when I sketch, even if it's very fast, it captures a lot in a small sketch. So I'm able to, you know, really quite well depict via art and verbally articulate what happened to me, which is very unusual in a survivor.
Right. Well, you sure did a good job. You know, and you were trafficked internationally, and you were trafficked internationally like to President Richard Nixon. You were only, what, 5 years old?
That's correct. So I was first really trafficked as a child prostitute to Parliament House in Canberra, Australia. And a Parliament House would be sort of equivalent to your White House. And I witnessed and was abused at a paedophile sex party attended by Gough Whitlam. And it was right at the end of his, time in office. And there were quite a number of his cabinet were pedophiles, the Australian Labor Party cabinet, and that's our left party. I was abused. After that party, I was taken to our main military Air Force base, Fairbairn, which is in Canberra. And now Fairbairn is, if your president was going to visit, if Air Force One was going to land, it would land at Fairbairn. So I was taken there, and I was taken there by John Gittinger, the CIA American psychologist who was head of the MKUltra psychology department. And he took me over there and told me to go up into, there was a big plane on the tarmac, and it was kind of a khaki greeny sort of colour, and like a military airplane, and it was from America, and a huge plane. And he said, go up there through that, you know, the back door, go up the stairs, and there's a very special man up there, and you do whatever he asks you to do. So I walked up these stairs. I was dressed like Shirley Temple in a fluffy, you know, Shirley Temple style dress, and my code name, I suppose, was Candy Girl, if you want to call it a code name. And I went up there, and Richard Nixon was lying in a large, you know, like a double bed in the back of the plane. And it was him. And he told me to come over. He asked my name. I said, I'm Candy Girl. And then he violently, sexually assaulted me. Now, after that, I was at a later age. I was, but still young. I can't remember the age that I was trafficked to America. It was like within the next year or two.
Hold on a second. Now, with Richard Nixon, didn't he injure you? I mean, you're only 5 years old, and he raped you violently.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It was terrible, and I had to be medically attended to by a military medic, a woman, at that base, and I was actually went through a bit of surgery, for what he had done. And then they had to get me looking fairly normal before they got me back to my mother.
Really?
Because my mother had no idea what was going on.
There's people involved in this, and they all know what's going on.
Oh, yes. Australia's government's well informed. You cannot be a major leader of the military, of the government in Australia, the police, education department, health department. You will not reach, high up into any of these departments unless you are complicit in some way to this child trafficking in Australia. This has been going on for many, many years, and it's part of the fabric of Australian society and culture. This is how it goes. Children who, we have a child trafficking racket, which is the Australian government. It involves our child protection services who steal children off vulnerable parents left, right and centre. Those children often go missing, or they go into the prostitution scene. Foster parents are usually, a lot of them are basically pimps. They prostitute the children and they're pedophiles. And the family law courts are involved. The judges are involved. I mean, since I really went public, I went public in 2013, but since I went gave the press conference to mainstream press, which was favourably received by Australian mainstream press in November the 2nd last year, 2015. I have had so many victims of this come forward to me, and we're doing it. You know, I've been starting up a series of my own interviews with victims called Pedos Down Under Radio, and I've interviewed people like Deborah and Lawrence and Tim Roy, and they're all saying the same stuff, that the boys' homes, you know, the children's homes in Australia have been used as to source victims of child sex trafficking to the VIPs in Australia and internationally for many decades. And, yeah, this is huge. The family law courts, the lawyers, the judges are corrupt. You know, they've named in Australia Justice Lionel Murphy and Justice Michael Kirby. I've had multiple victims name these people. I was assaulted by Murphy myself, so I know he's involved for sure. And these are two of your chief justices. If you study law, which I've done a bit of law, they're the two justices who are cited every second article or every second case we study, major case. It's Murphy or the other, you know? And
really?
Yeah, and these are the people who were brought in by the Australian Labor Party. They're actually, you know, have communist leanings. And these people were brought in when the Labor Party got in. They started introducing these judges. So, you know, this is part of the fabric of Australian society, as I say. Yeah, it's huge. Go on.
Good. Is there any way we're going to be able to stop this? I mean, you're sitting you tell, and many others have too, about the presidents they've been raped by in this country as children. And this all comes out in, you know how far back this pedophilia in our government's been going on. I mean, it was back in the 80s when it all came out about pedophile parties in the White House here and everything. And it got covered up, and nothing gets done about it. And the same congressmen were involved in that are sitting in Congress now.
Oh, exactly. It's the same with Australia. It was actually Prime Minister Bob Hawke and Prime Minister Gough Whitlam sexually assaulted me in Canberra. But it's Prime Minister Paul Keating. He didn't sexually assault me. I witnessed him involved in the necrophilic rape of a little boy about 5 years of age, and I was there when there was a clean-up job done on that particular murder by Leonis Petraskis, who was a Nazi war criminal from Lithuania, who came to Australia, and he was one of the head honchos in Sydney in terms of, he would clean up any sort of crime scenes for the prime ministers and the elites and the senators and all that sort of thing in Australia when there was a bit of a problem, and sign the death certificates, you know, to cover for these murders of children and if the children were the types of children that would be missed. And he was actually good friends with Dr. Anthony Kidman, who was Nicole Kidman's father, and Anthony Kidman was complicit as well. He was heavily involved. He was head of the Sydney branch of the Freemason-based Luciferian pedophile network in Sydney. So, you know, this is very high. And he was CIA as well. Both of those were CIA operatives. And worked in with Gittinger from America. So this is a very tightly run network, and there's links. Other people have told me about the links to Westminster in the UK, the Westminster pedophile ring that the Jimmy Savile involves the royal family. The royal family is involved. I have been witness to some of that. But, yeah, so these are the links to America and England and Australia. I mean, it's just a big – and Asia. You know, there's a huge sex trafficking network that links to Asia. I mean, Paul Keating, it was in Australia's, I think it was New Idea magazine, one of our major magazines, like your National Enquirer or whatever. He used to go to Thailand to have sex with little boys all the time, and that's why his wife left him. So the journalists in Australia, if you ask the journalists, they know these things. A lot of the old journalists, the old investigative journalists, when we had investigative journalism in Australia, they know all these rumours. They know about the Wood Royal Commission that was conducted in Australia in the 1990s, which was a royal commission to cover up all of this, this whole network, and they effectively covered up because the guy that the Australian government employed, the judge they employed, Commissioner James Wood, was himself a pedophile and a member of the very Sydney-based pedophile ring that he was employed by the Australian government to investigate. So this is how they do it. And now we've, currently Australia has another royal commission, Child Abuse Royal Commission, at a federal level. And once again, they're just covering everything up. They're not exposing the involvement of organisations like the churches, like Hillsong, which has hit America. God help you lot. This is just a child trafficking network, Hillsong, started by Frank Houston, a convicted pedophile from New Zealand, came to Australia. He was a major supplier of children for ritual sacrifice and pedophile rings and all this sort of thing in Australia. And he was subject of the Wood Royal Commission, and now they're subject of the second Royal Commission 20 years later. But yet, you know, nothing is really scrutinised at the basic level that I'm speaking of. They just do a superficial coverage of it in the media and say, oh, you know, Brian Houston, the son of Frank Houston, covered up some of this, you know, his own private pedophile activities where he abused, oh, maybe a few hundred boys. But no, the press won't touch, and the Wood Royal Commission didn't, and the current Royal Commission will not publicly speak and expose the content that I am sharing now, which is the true content of both Child Abuse Royal Commissions.
Right, right. You know, before I cut you off when you were talking, I wanted to ask you more about when you were with President Nixon. But when you were little like that, when they flew you places, did they put you in cages and gas you?
Well, what happened was, in order to transport me to America, I was transported from Sydney Airport to LA, and I went in a cargo plane, and I was in a wooden box, like a crate that you would put an animal in. So they put me in there with like straw and, you know, like soft material, and they gassed me. They lightly gassed me. So I was drugged like an animal. And so if anybody thought, you know, if anyone heard me or whatever, and, you know, banging around a bit, people would have thought they were transporting a precious animal for the zoo, you know. And that's what I was treated like in animals. So I was transported to LA, and then I was transported directly from there up to Bohemian Grove. Now, Bohemian Grove is nothing but a pedophile gathering. It is nothing else. When they gather in summer every year over there, it is a Luciferian pedophile gathering. Now, people have seen footage of them dressed up in their Ku Klux Klan-style robes. They are Luciferian robes, and they are pretend to sacrifice an effigy to Moloch. They actually conduct real human sacrifices. I witnessed one at Bohemian Grove. Other victims have witnessed human sacrifice. And then they have these theme cabins where they sexually assault children, and they have pedophile hunts. So I witnessed a sacrifice of someone by a group of people in black robes. That's one of the drawings I did. I was made to partake in a pedophile hunt. We were dressed up as little teddy bears, and they played that music, you know, if you go down in the woods today, never believe your eyes, the Teddy Bears Picnic theme. They played that over the loudspeakers throughout the woods, and they had a bunch of us kids running around, and they loved to do this. They would hunt for us, and when they found you, they would rape you. So, but they couldn't find me for that one. I was very good at hiding. And then I also over there, I was raped by Reverend Billy Graham, Richard Nixon's best friend, and they used to engage in homosexual relations. He is Billy Graham's not a Christian. Neither is his son. And Billy Graham, I was again dressed up as Candy Girl, and I was led in. I was told to go into this particular cabin in the wood, a log cabin, and inside it was decked out in pink, and it had pink bubbles and pink fluffy carpet and pink blow up furniture and a bubble machine going and pink balloons. And I was given some pink champagne, and Reverend Billy Graham came over to me, and he was dressed up in a nice press shirt from memory, and a bathrobe, one of those expensive robes that you wear over a casual, you know, robe that you wear over a, you know, your trousers, and slippers, and he had a champagne glass thing, not a champagne glass, a cocktail glass, and it had pink in it and a straw and whatever, and he said, drink this, and he's talking to me, says, oh, my good friend Richard, he told me that you, you know, you're very good to men, and, you know, you like to treat men well and all this sort of thing, and he drugged me. So Reverend Billy Graham likes to have sex with little children. I would have been about six, you know, seven. Likes to have sex with little children when they're drugged. So that's his fetish. So that's what happened to me. And then after that, my next memory is being taken down to Disneyland, and I remember going through the you know, that It's a Small World After All, you know, that ride, that horrible ride. I still hate that song. And I was put on the Cup and Saucer ride and twirled around, and I was dressed up like Alice in Wonderland. This is part of the MK Ultra mind control stuff. I was assaulted there by Ted Turner. There was a pedophile party going on, and then all this other stuff that was Fittinger met us there, and they reinforced my military programming, MK Ultra programming, by actually putting me through all the typical Disneyland type reinforcement, which was, you know, the Alice in Wonderland stuff, and, you know, there was a whole lot more that went on. It went on all night, but you know, those are my clearest memories.
Okay, and that was Ted Turner.
That was Ted Turner.
Had a CNN. Right.
It was Ted Turner who married that other idiot who protested against the Vietnam vets.
Oh, yeah.
Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda. Yeah, they're divorced now, but yeah.
Could never, right. Never stand her, yeah.
Do you remember anybody else that was there besides Ted Turner?
No, just a lot of, I know, because Ted Turner's the one who raped me, I usually right. remember, it has to be quite prominent. It's like, I remember the people who assaulted me, you know, usually, that I've had close contact with. But there was a heap of men there. There was a big party going on. And that's what they do at Disneyland. They close the park of a night and have pedophile parties. And they've been doing that since Walt Disney first started the joint. That's the whole point of Disneyland. It was an MK Ultra programming center. It's a child abduction center of James Shanahan, another ritual abuse victim in Australia. His friend lost their children at Disneyland, two children. The police said, oh, you'll never get them back. And those kids were trafficked, I suppose. But they went missing at Disneyland, and Disneyland shut this down quite quickly. A lot of children go missing at Disneyland and Disney World every year. But it is shut down because the police who work at Disneyland and Disney World are pedophiles involved in this ring. So you won't get anywhere with Orlando police or Florida police.
No.
Yeah.
This is so horrible. You are so brave to come out. You are so brave. And
I don't know that I'm brave, Evelyn. I was given no choice. I was actually targeted by a pedophile university, Australia's first private university, Bond University in Australia, and I thoroughly recommend Americans do not send their children there. It's infiltrated and taken over by these people, and some international pedophiles have infiltrated the university as well. I was only two subjects short of a master's in forensic psychology, so I've done 6 years of forensic psychology, and they targeted me because I took a stand against all of this and would not be complicit to their, you know, covering up of all this sort of stuff in their clinic. And I suppose, and I've been targeted all my life by the pedophile ring. It doesn't matter where I go, no matter what job I go to. Dr. Anthony Kibben promised. He said, you'll be nothing without us. You'll get nowhere without us, and we will follow you all your days until you die. you know, and we will harass you until the day you die. And that's what they've done. You know, they think they have a blood right to my children. They've tried to get my children through various means. The ABC daycare attached to Bond University targeted my youngest, and she told me about it, and I whipped her out of there. You know, my eldest daughter was targeted by neighbours, Daryl and Margaret Hoffman, who came from the Sutherland Shire, who lived next door to me up on the Gold Coast here. They stuck a hypodermic needle in her head, you know, and we had to go to court over that. And now, so, you know, my children, they haven't totally ever got my children, but I've been so protective. But this is our lives, you know. The police tried to falsely arrest my 10-year-old last year, saying she stole a pink iPhone 4 off a bus she never goes on. And her school, her little Christian private school, came in to bat for her and said, and rang the police and said, no way. That child was in our care all day. She had no access to that bus. And the police abused this principal, which was a very silly move, because now we have a lot of witnesses against the New South Wales police and this particular officer. And, this is what they do. You know, they turn up just to take your children away on zero grounds. And they're so cocky, like this particular police officer, because they've done it for so many years and they get away with it every time. And then they come up against me. And it doesn't quite work the way they have always planned and got away with in the past. You know, for some reason, I think I'm born again Christian, for want of a better term, because it's come into such disrepute due to the pedophilic involvement of the Christian, so-called Christian churches these days. But I'm a genuine Christian who... I'm not affiliated with any church, but that is my source of strength and that is my source of authority, and that is why I speak out. So I can't, I'm only what God made me, and I'm only what he still continues to allow me to be. And, you know, I could easily be one of these kids. I could easily be a disabled, cerebral palsy child in a wheelchair, unable to walk and talk for myself. And but I'm able-bodied, and it's my role on this planet, in this life, to be a voice for those children who cannot speak for themselves, either because they're gagged or because they're disabled or because they're dead, you know. So that's why I'm doing this.
Right. And, you know, I watched that one presentation of yours where you described, you know, when you watched these sacrifices and I don't remember if it was at a church or where it was. I mean, you described it all, you know, and the people involved in how much they involved you. Can you talk a little bit about that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
You may be talking about Bathurst City Hall. Bathurst is a Masonic, a Freemason designed town, country town, I don't know, a couple of 2 to 3 hours west of Sydney, out sort of where it's getting a bit dry and sort of rural area. Evil, evil place. And every year they have Australia's most famous car race is held out there. It's famous for that. So they have a flooded, the population just massively explodes at that time of the year. And I was there when I was 15. And what they had, for everyone to see, because the town mayor was involved and you know, anyone who's anybody in Bathurst is involved in this. They're Luciferian pedophiles and Freemasons. Anyway, we went out there for what they would call a state-level Luciferian ritual. Now, it was Richie Beno's birthday, and my researcher, Steve McMurray from the McMurray Report, he really thinks that it was a birthday celebration in honour of Richie Beno. Now, Richie Beno was Australia's most famous cricketer outside of Don Bradman. He was, well, one of the famous cricketers. He captained the Australian team, but he went on to be a very famous sports commentator. So he's very well known in England and Australia. Anyway, he looking at him, no one would ever think that he's capable of raping and murdering and, you know, people. He was there, so was the New South Wales Police Commissioner, John Avery, so was Kim Beazley Sr., who was the Federal Minister for Education under Gough Whitlam, and his son also, Kim Beazley Jr., and Bob Carr. Bob Carr's a convicted pedophile in Australia. That's been hush-hushed. He was convicted of two children, raping two children in Sydney, and he was a minister, and Kim Beazley and Bob Carr went to Bohemian Grove, attended the pedophile parties in 2012 at the expense millions of Australian taxpayers. But his father, Kim Beazley Sr., was a Luciferian. And there was Bruce Spence, who appeared in movies like Mel Gibson's Mad Max. He was in the first two movies. He wasn't allowed to be in the latter movies due to, well, I was just speaking with a survivor who knows all about Bruce Spence, and he knows about his activities, and he actually begged to be in the other Mad Max movies. They wouldn't let him because he was being exposed too much for being a pedophile. Anyway, there are other people. There was a lecturer, a female lecturer, a redhead lecturer, large woman from Sydney University. She lectured in something like journalism, communications. Who else was there? Richard? Yeah, I think it may come to mind. Yeah, so I witnessed them. It was Bathurst City Hall. It was full of St. Stanislav College priests and local police from Bathurst and police from all over New South Wales, mainly Sydney. And it was just a big pedophile celebration, and I witnessed the ritual sacrifice of about, I don't know, a whole bunch, a row of children, and Bruce Spence murdered them. I witnessed a woman, a heavily pregnant woman, being, she was, well, they did a cesarean on her without any anaesthetic, and then they did a black mass with the baby. They pulled the baby out and did a black mass with the baby, and yeah, and then a big pedophile orgy and whatever. That's they were involved in that, and that was Bathurst City Hall when I was 15. So that was the mid-80s, 1980s. Yeah, right in the middle of town. They had police guarding the doors. You know, there's no way you would have got in there, and you wouldn't have known what was going on in there.
But they all knew it.
Oh, yeah.
The police.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
And so wasn't it that movie star? I had to look up even who he was when I was watching that presentation and looking at him. He looked familiar. But then I went and looked at the Mad Max movies, and I recognized him, although I've never watched that Mad Max.
Bruce Spence, yeah, he raped me on the altar during that ritual as well. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his at all.
No. And then he was one, you said, they lined up all these children. And you think they were hypnotized because they didn't move or nothing.
Yes, they were hypnotized or drugged. They definitely were, because they just didn't know where they were. They were just like zombies. So thank God, you know, they're like zombies. Didn't know what was happening. And, yeah, he cut their heads off with a very, very sharp samurai sword. And they all love this. That's what people have got to remember. You know, people go, oh, God, this doesn't happen. She's making it up. No, just think about what the Nazis used to do for enjoyment. The Nazis used to turn children into lampshades. Now, how is it so far removed from what Bruce Spence did on that stage?
Right.
So, you know.
And then after he did that, he killed him and then go on from there. Then what happened?
Oh, that's when it erupted into a pedophile orgy, because these people are sexually aroused by murder. So they were all turned on, and then there was a big orgy. And they were having sex with the dead bodies, decapitated bodies, and, you know, everything else, and each other, and, you know, they're into everything. And there was more kids, and, yeah.
How old were these kids?
They were about 10.
10? Yeah. And so, yeah, explain that. Why they traumatize kids and how that arouses them?
Well, they're now, you think about it, like you had this with Ted Bundy, the serial killer, who testified to Dr. James Dobson, the Christian psychologist, just before he was executed. He said it starts off small. It starts off with a bit of porn, and then men cease to be aroused by that, and then they have to move on to something more extreme to keep that arousal level up. Then they have to move on to something more, and then it's like the guys who go over to have sex overseas in Asia. They start off with women, and then it's so often they move into young girls because they, you know, I've heard them say it's they do what you want. You know, you start off with the women, and then, you know, sometimes they get a bit fussy and the prostitutes over in Thailand won't do what you want. So, you know, you get younger and younger because they're more compliant. And then next thing they're aroused by, you know, 12-year-old girls. So it's a bit like that. It's excremental, and it's a slippery slope. So these men are aroused more and more by more extreme acts of violence. And, you know, so that's where you get into the kiddie porn snuff films and things like that. They're sexually aroused by that. So they may start off aroused by normal porn, but eventually it turns into snuff porn. And this is what it is with these guys. They have to do extreme things in the end to be sexually aroused, and then they have to involve drugs. And then they do things like if they traumatize kids and get the blood pumping through their system during trauma, they get the adrenaline pumping through the blood. And then when they sacrifice in these rituals, Luciferian rituals, and they drink the blood actually becomes drugged with the adrenaline, the oxidized adrenaline of the victims. And that gives them a particular type of high. Now, this is my understanding of it. I used to witness what it was, but I never knew as a child the medical kind of side of it. But this is what I've kind of worked it out to be, what I witnessed.
Right.
The ultimate high, the ultimate orgasm for a male is when someone's ritually sacrificed for them. It gives them the ultimate high, and they've got those drugs going on as well. Now, you've got to remember that those drugs that they take, that's been passed down from generation to generation, the formula for the drugs and the aphrodisiacs and all that sort of thing. So they've got it down to a fine art.
Yeah, what are the
and you've got people like Al Gore. Remember, Al Gore was addicted to blood. They become addicted to blood after a while. Al Gore was caught with a suitcase full of blood, bags of blood,
right.
Become addicted to blood. That's where your myth of vampirism comes from. They actually become addicted to it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Mm.
So when they kill these babies, is that their main goal? Is to drink that blood?
No. There's all different reasons for murdering people. The main reason is to satisfy their gods. Now, they like the Aztecs, like the Egyptians, like the Babylonians, etc. Human sacrifice has been handed down through generations over thousands of years. That they worship the same gods that worshipped thousands of years ago. There's nothing different. And their books have been translated and passed down through the generations as well. You know, I witnessed some very, very ancient texts, and some of these texts go back to Babylon. So they've been passed down secretly through them all. So this is what your Knights of Malta and all these sorts of people were preserving, the dark arts and all the paraphernalia that went with it.
Right. Now, you know, we always hear so much about the Catholic, you know, religion being involved in this, the priests and everything. And I always say that we hear so much about them is because they're so big, you know, they have such a population that they have churches and dioceses and stuff in so many different countries and everything. But the Catholics aren't the only ones involved.
No, they're not the only ones. Catholicism is just thinly veiled Luciferianism. The traditional Catholic Mass is just a watered down version of the Luciferian High Black Mass. So Catholicism directly stems from Luciferianism because it was linked to Mithraism, which is Luciferianism and all that sort of thing, and MK Ultra type techniques that were passed down through the generations. But now you had Protestantism, and that was genuine to begin with, but now it's all gone. I mean, these Luciferians and Freemasons have infiltrated every denomination now. The Salvation Army was, you know, pedophilic from the beginning, and its hierarchy, its structure was Luciferian. Hillsong, like I say, is Australia's biggest Protestant church now, and it is nothing but child sacrifice and child kiddie porn stuff. Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah, the founder was a Luciferian pedophile, Frank Houston, and it's Assemblies of God. So it was linked to, it has links to America. Your Baptists, well, they're Reverend Billy Graham. I mean, he was groomed from the start to assume a role. He's actually Illuminati line, and he was groomed from the start to assume a role and they start off like Billy Graham's crusades. Oh, they look good, but what happened afterwards? The counselling people received was the problem. And fellow victims of MKUltra and everything have told me about Billy Graham as well. And one victim in Australia was Tim Roy, and he and his brother were sexually assaulted at the Billy Graham Crusades out the back of, you know, the main meeting area where Billy Graham and that were congregated. So, but at the end of the Billy Graham Crusades, you know, if you were a Catholic, identified as a Catholic, you know, or you were as a kid, Billy Graham would direct you to be counselled by Catholics. They would have Catholic counsellors waiting for you at the crusade. So it was actually an ecumenical event. It was not Protestant. So, you know, this is the thing. So all religions are involved now. The Wesleyan Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, you name it, they've all somehow been infiltrated and involved. You know, the churches will be infiltrated. Every church is infiltrated.
And the Scientology?
Oh, well, that is absolutely, yeah. Scientology, you'll notice, is quite similar. The founders of Scientology are just Luciferians. You know, if you look back into, you know, how it started and the links between, you know, those people, it's just all the same garbage. Scientology is more of a pure branch of this sort of stuff than the Protestant churches, because they've had to be sort of bastardized around a different way. You know, you had to pollute something good that it was in the first place, but Scientology was filthy from the start. Same with Mormonism, you know.
Right.
It was filthy from the start. It was a pedophile-based religion. I mean,
really?
the founder of Mormonism was a pedophile.
Okay.
Yeah, had sex with young girls.
You know what I'm always curious about is I think I've seen today that different ones name Alex Jones from the newscaster that says, you know, he's against all the bad things in the world. But I'm convinced he's just a shill. But
no, he's a shill. Yeah, he's fake. I can tell from his stuff he's fake. It's funny, when Justice Scalia, I'm the first person to connect the dots. I was the first person in the world to connect the dots between Justice Scalia and the ranch, Rent Boy Ranch that he was at, and the St. Hubert's hunting party that gathered at the ranch. And St. Hubert's in Europe, which is a pedophile hunting party. They actually hunt children. That's their actual real pastime. And I made the big... And St. Hubert's are linked to Bohemian Grove in California. So I made all this link, and Alex Jones nicked it. And so did the Washington Post, actually. I wrote the article. I gave it to David Schroeder in America to put up on his site. And then I put it up on my site, and Washington Post took it and used what they could out of it. And I don't mind. I'm not in this for credit or anything, but Alex Jones, I mean, he nicked my stuff as well. So just he gave no credit to me. And he tried, because he had already been trying to talk about that sort of thing, but he didn't have the links that I had.
No.
Yeah, he's a fake.
He did. But you know people that the children that he has raped.
I don't. No, I don't personally know anything about that. You might be thinking of Alan Jones in Australia, who is a prominent radio host over here, who was convicted in France for pedophilia. Well, he was charged, and Kerry Packer got him off, and he also, just before that, was charged in England for sexually assaulting a boy.
Okay, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you reported on that, on Anthony Scalia, and I know I talked about it on the show, that you said, you know, that he was a member of that pedophile ring, and David had said that he was one of the more violent rapists of him.
Scalia is one of the main perpetrators of David Schroeder, as David said.
Right. Well, Veterans Today has been reporting on that. And they were talking, let me read you this little piece. It says that this Sterling Allen Scalia child sex scandal is in the process of being buried. The guilty are feeling safe. The FBI thinks they bought this Allen's silence with a plea deal. We aren't so sure we want to allow that. In Belgium, in Morocco, here in the U.S., the child traffickers, the powerful, the obscure and their hirelings, internet trolls, phony aid workers, when they aren't running drugs or trucking poison gas to IS, market vulnerable children to sick bastards who thus far have stayed above the law, all but this one guy, Sterling Allen. But what he described about Scalia was that, yeah, that he runs these, that he was the one that was guarding against protecting these pedophile rings, international pedophile rings from Belgium and where else was it? I forget. But what they say they do, these Freemasons, they screen people that are going to be judges here in the U.S. and like in college and everything young. And then they make them judges, and then if anybody's busted in this pedophile ring, this international pedophile ring of all world leaders and everything, well, then they have the judges so that it never goes anywhere. You know, they never get found guilty and gets thrown out.
Yeah. That's their standard mode of operation in Australia as well. That's how it works. I've had so many victims talk to me about courts, and they just make it up. I mean, they close the courts often, and the person's not given the opportunity to defend themselves. You know, the victim will subpoena documents, and the subpoenas won't be granted by the judge. They just do whatever the hell they want. It's just so corrupted in Australia. We need a World War III to change things here. We really do, because it's just too far gone. And the same as America, it's too far gone. And I blame the lazy Protestant Christians for this. I grew up in a church over here, and you know, Church of Christ, and which is similar to Baptist. And you know, I just saw the most lazy. There was a lot of genuine people in the church. You know, they're not Luciferian pedophiles. They're not all of them. And but they were lazy. They were lazy. They were sitting back, warming the Sunday pews, waiting for the rapture to happen. And consequently, meanwhile, while they're doing that, kids were being raped and abducted all around them. So, it's too far gone. It's really finished. You know, we really do need God to intervene and come back.
Well, I think you might be right there, because I don't know. Well, you know, are you knowledgeable about chemtrails and geoengineering?
Oh, only bits and pieces. I've been aware of the chemtrail phenomenon for many years. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, when I was a kid, my father was actually a parachuter, and I grew up around airports and stunt shows and planes with the smoke coming out the back and whatever. Yeah, well, these lines they leave in the sky don't look anything like what I saw as a child growing up.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And I've been researching that now for 11 months, and I had Dane Wigington on last week. And it is so horrible that they're spraying us with all this aluminum and stradium and barium and mercury and everything else. That there's not going to be another generation on this earth if people don't wake up and stop this. I mean, Dane said that the last layer of the ozone is all that's left to shield us from the sun. And if that goes, we're done. You know, we'll fry. Just like the trees and stuff are doing in California now. I mean, when they rain all this aluminum on them, it makes those trees, well, it makes the trees burn up anyhow from the sun being so hot now. But then when that aluminum hits, you see these horrible wildfires we're having?
Yeah.
Well, these trees start on fire. Because
you definitely have an increase in natural disaster, and they're fracking and mining underground and... You know, and CERN, the Hadron Collider in CERN would be a big cause of a lot of the disruption and the earthquakes that we're seeing now. They're trying to rip up, well, they say, CERN scientists say themselves, they've located other dimensions and made contact with beings in other dimensions. This has been published in scientific articles. And, you know, what they're doing, and they've got these quantum computers now where they have data, and they put the information in the computer. It's processed in another dimension, and it spits out answers to their questions, and they don't know how it's being processed and who's processing it in another dimension. This is published stuff. This is in TED Talks, etc. You know, this is how far technologically advanced they are. And, I mean, and what's coming, what's being fulfilled is Bible prophecy. I mean, CERN Hadron Collider is located, the main one in Switzerland, is located over the traditional opening to the abyss. And Apollyon, in Revelation, it says Apollyon's going to come out of the abyss. Well, that was the temple to Apollo was directly underneath where CERN is located now. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but I'm just putting two and two together here. I'm seeing increases in natural disasters as written about in the Bible, and it's increased. I'm 47. It's increased, you know, so much since I was a kid. We used to have four seasons when I was a kid. We used to have, well, at least where I live, we used to have summer and winter. You'd put your bed clothes away or your jumpers away at the end of each year, and that was the end of it. But then now, you know, you don't know when summer or winter's hitting. In the middle of winter, where I am, about a month ago, we had a weekend day where it was 27 degrees Celsius here, and we all went to the beach and we were dressed in, you know, flip-flops or thongs and a singlet. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. Everything's just back to front and upside down now. And I think this is, look, the whole objective of these Luciferian pedophiles all the way along has been, and they're known as the Order at the top, and has been to create a state of utter chaos socially, physically, etc., and psychologically within individuals, and then they bring about such a state of chaos that then they can offer order. They can offer order and peace and security at the end. So all of these things that are going on, you know, these shootings which don't kind of add up, where they employ actors, you know, to partake in like Boston bombing and all this sort of stuff, and Steven Spielberg directing Boston bombing. Some people got photographs of it and whatever, you know, that I've seen. I don't know how much what's true or what's what. I just know that there's a lot of fake false flag incidents. We've had them in Australia with our a big shooting we had. Australia's a testing ground for what you guys are experiencing. We've had all this 20 years ago, okay? All that we're going through, we've had all this. We've had, you know, sieges and various things. The Port Arthur massacre was over 20 years ago, and that was like a test for what's happening now in France and America and everywhere else. So, you know, we are quickly seeing the world degenerate into a state of complete chaos, and people are going to be in a state of shock and trauma, and they really are, like in MK Ultra programming situation for a little child, they shock you and traumatise you till you want a rescuer, and everyone's looking for a rescuer, and increasingly they will do so. They will look for a rescuer, and so when somehow, you know, this elite Luciferian group come along with a solution, people will readily jump at it. And that's what I believe the whole plan is behind this activity.
Oh, I believe it. I do too, and just put this whole world in chaos and all these false flag events that they're having over here, you know, these shoot-ups every week or two, you know, and they are false flag events, and it is just to get the people all shaken up so they can bring in martial law and take the guns and have, you know, and lock everybody down. And I mean, everybody knows this is happening, but nobody stands up. But this bit about global warming, for me, that is the biggest cause that I'm working on, because we don't stop that. People don't wake up. And what they're trying to do now, the lie they're trying to do, they're doing just like they did with autism. They said back when autism epidemic started that there wasn't really an epidemic. It was always here, just wasn't diagnosed. Now they're saying the chemtrails were always here, that there's just more air traffic. That's what all the lines are about. That is so BS. But anyhow, I'm so happy to have had you on, and I want you to come on again, and I want you to keep us up on where you're at and exposing all of this, and stay safe. Stay safe.
No worries.
I worry about you people, you truth tellers, because we know now they're just killing off anybody who tells the truth.
Yeah.
So stay safe, Fiona.
God's got it at hand. Something
else. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Well, everybody, I hope you learned something today, and I hope that we can expose this worldwide pedophile network and end it, and the same with global warming. Tune in next week. We'll see you then. Bye. The least that I can do.